in terms of the source of the din of noting tam with gam. What's the halacha called? Davar shetam o poglum eno oser taruvasa. Even ein tam o poglum achmas atzmo ifne atzmo hu mutam o mushbach ela shepogim taruvasa. Just that the combination is that which creates the pagam. But also that is going to be mutar. Comes along the Taz and points out, where is this learned from? Taz if katan alef no sein tam lefgam mutar yalfina la migir dechsiv lo sochu kol nevela la ger asher bisharecha titnena. And so Chazal are doresh nevela haruya la ger kriya nevela sheinaruya la ger lo. So here we have the halacha of nevela haruya la ger, but this halacha is that when an avela becomes unedible, when it becomes saruach, when it becomes spoiled, that's when it's mutar. B'chol HaTorah Kula, we have a criteria of nevela she'ena ro'i l'achilas adam. On Pesach, we have a more chomer criteria of that which is eno ro'i l'achkelev. But over here, we're not talking, no sein ta'am l'fgam. If you look in halacha beis, pegam ze ein sarach she'yipagim l'gamrei, that the no sein tam of gam of hilchos ta'aroves is not the nevela sheneri lager, ela afilu pogem k'tzas. And this is a necessary understanding, as the Gra points out in Sif Katan Gimel, from the world of Kedera. Raya ledvarev, says the Gra, mi Kedera sheno bas yoma, karinan be no sein tam of gam. And clearly, when you cook in a kedera which is ena bas yoma, it's not going to cause the food to be rancid. It's not going to cause the food to be inedible. And so, how can you learn out a halacha from a source where the halacha is apples and the source is oranges? The source over here is that which is inedible, and the halacha which is learned out is that which is edible, just that there's a slight off, slightly off. So this bothered the Rishonim. And here we have a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran. Then both deos are brought in Si'if Beis. The Rashba is the first deya, which is quoted the Yesh Misha Omer, and then the Ran is where the Dalet of the Taz is, the Yesh Misha Chochech. So first let's see the Rashba. The Rashba said that there is a difference between Nevela Be'en and nevela b'ta'arovas, that when we're dealing with nevela be'en, when we're dealing with the actual food, then you require saruach agamre. Then it has to be rancid in order to become mutar. Only when it's rancid is the shame isra mufka, does it cease to be nevela. However, when that same nevela is in a ta'arovas, then the isra is because of the ta'am, and the ta'am, which is pogum k'tzas, that's already mufka from being called a ta'am. Namely, this fits very, very beautifully into the world of Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim said that we have two separate isurim in the world of nevela. We have the cheftza of nevela, and we have the ta'am of nevela, that we learn out from the pasuk of Mishras, that not only is nevela asur, but the ta'am of nevela is asur, ta'am ki'ikar. And there are different definitions of at what point it loses its status. The nevela, the cheft of nevela, the ben of nevela loses its status when it becomes eina roi l'achilas adam, eina roi l'achilas kelev. However, the tam of nevela, the moment it becomes pogum tzas, that's not called tam nevela. That's not defined as tam nevela.
Why is Rabbi saying that the chilek is between be'en and not taruvos? Can't you have a taruvos that had the isra in it that is be'en?
Excellent. So you're 100%. So the Rashba himself was bothered. But just a minute, in a taruvos, there's a taruvos of a tamo v'lo mamasho, but there's also a taruvos of tamo mamasho. You can have a taruvos where you have both the mamashos and the tam. And so what happens at that point? So the Rashba says, inachinami, when you have a taroves which is ta'amo umamasho, and the ta'am is pogum k'tzas, then that takes care of the ta'am. What about the mamasho? So there we have a din of bitul barov. And that's the yesh misha omer. Yesh mi sheomer haynu dafka shenisarev iser muat im heter meruba. Avol iser meruba l'toch heter muat afilu mechza al mechza. Then this din of nosin tam of gam is not going to help us. Ain amrim nosin tam of gam mutar ad sheif gom legamre. Because then we have be'en. We have be'en which is not batel. That be'en which is not batel has to become pogum legamre in a royal achilas adam. If ancient mamashel shall iser elatam obilvad afilu he iser maruba veheter muat muat mutar in pogem ktsas. Namely, that we have to take each taroves on its merits. When we have a taroves which is pure, which we're dealing with pure ta'am, where there is no be'en, let's say we have a kli, and this kli was b'leia, and now the kli is sending its b'leia out into the taroves, that's a pure ta'am. So if this kli sat overnight, so this is a ta'am shepogum k'tzas, then it's mutter. Irrelevant, we don't look at the ratio of what's coming out in terms of what's there. Simply, we don't have iser. The iser is mufka. However, if we're dealing with a situation where you have nevela and nevela soup, and this nevela and nevela soup fall into kosher kosher meat and kosher soup, so then in terms of the soup to the soup, so that's going to be batel in terms of tam pagum ktsas. In terms of the chicken to the chicken, so the nevela to the kosher, so there we would need rov. We have to have bitul on both sides. If you look in the gross of Katan Dalet, he says zelashon haran. Now again, this is not the Ran qua Ran. This is the Ran quoting the Rashba. Ahad de le'el. We had an issue. Dein tzorach nosin tam lefgam legamre. Af agav min nevela gamrinan la. V'chol haroi leger shema nevela. Af al pishe pagma. Hasam haynu tama mishum shen ne'echeles bifnei atzma. That's what dealing with the be'en. Lefikach shetifgo me'achilas adam. It has to become rancid. Avol ta'aroves shegufo batel berov. In the ta'aroves, we take each of them separately. On the level of the be'en, we need bitul berov. Then af midrabanan v'lo aser elamishum ta'amo tam kikir midoraisa v'gazru mino atu eino mino lefikach kol shetamo pogem k'tzas muter lefish eino no sein tam. Moment that it's pogem ktsas, that's not called no same tam. Adar abu hu pogem. Okay? Avo b'deleka ruba, but if we don't have rov, then in achanami osur, not mitzah the tam, but mitzah gufo. She'eno batel, ukilu hu be'en, etc. Okay? So that's exactly the shita of the Rashba. However, the Ran disagrees be'ikaron. The Ran has a totally different understanding of the din of no sein ta'am lifgam. And this is the gra in Sifkaton He. V'zeh lashon haran sham, v'adayin tzarech lomar, hechi gamrinan mi nevecha. Namely, according to the Rashba, the Achilles heel is that the Torah speaks about nevela. And then we say, but that's by the end, but by ta'am, then we have a different standard. But how do you learn out that new standard? Where do you see the new standard? The Torah only talks about the standard of men. How did, you know, like, where do we see this? How is this learned out? How can you learn out X from Y if X is apples and Y is oranges? To say it's apples and oranges, you can say it. But how do you learn out one from the other? V'nira li, says the Ran, the hainu tama, that the Ran says, no, that we have over here a principle. The Rashba is barking off the wrong tree. The Rashba assumed that we have one standard for be'en, another standard for ta'am. And therefore, for the be'en, we need rov, and for the ta'am, we need pagum tzas. But that doesn't say that anywhere. That the Rashba's making up. So what does the Ran understand? The Ran understands that nevei l'sheinu ruger is a rule. It's a principle. The principle is that if you are not nehene, then it's mutter. By a be'en, when are you not nehene? When it's rancid. By a ta'am, when are you not nehene? When it's off. However, every one of us knows that different people have different criteria. I have always found, I don't know if this is a total rule, but that looking around the YU cafeteria, I found that there are many, many more men who eat the white part of the chicken as opposed to girls. Girls, women, they like always the dark meat. And the men, there are many who like the dark meat, but there are also many who want the white meat. Now, everyone agrees the dark meat is more succulent. So it tastes better. So why would a man want the white? Because there's more. The portion of white meat is larger than the portion of dark meat. The dark meat is the lower part, and the white meat is the chest. That's where you have the quantity. Namely, by men, quantity can sometimes override quality. I'm willing to take a portion of that which is larger, even if I know the smaller piece tastes better, but this is larger. And so that's what the Ran was working. Ran's example. So the Ran says that if by adding the nosein ta'am lifgam, I have more quantity, namely nachem, it's a little off, but there's more, and I'm interested in the quantity, then nachem it's going to be aser. Then it's going to be aser. Namely, it's only going to be muter if I'm not getting hanah. But if by adding the iser, even if making now the taste is a little off, but I'm going to have a quantity which overrides the quality, in achenami it's aser. That's the yesh mishachochech. Look back into the Shulchan Aruch. The yesh mishachochech, lomar, she'im higdil ha'iser midaso shel heter, ad shehu mashbiach yoser kishe'ocho begodel midaso, mimashu pogein behefsei ta'amo. In other words, in the handoff over here, I'm willing to compromise a little bit on the fact that the quality goes down. If the quantity goes up, right, then it's aser. Actually, pasul mileachol adam. When it's pasul achilas adam, then clearly there's no hanah. But if it's edible, but it's not as tasty, so then if that's all I'm left with, something which is not as tasty, so I'm not nehene. But if it's but if I'm going to have a larger quantity, then I am. That's what the Gura points out in Sifkatan Hey. The bottom line is that nevela, when I'm talking about food, in other words, as long as it's not rancid and I'm hungry, I'm going to eat it. Then it becomes mutter. So in the world of ta'am, the moment it's off, I'm not nene from the tam. Hapogim. But then, karavani lomar, but then the svara would say that if, even in this situation, I would be nene by the quantity, in achinami, it would be aser. Okay? So here we have a very basic machlokas between the Ran and the Rashi. Let me give you a nafgamina.
Yes, so has that fit in terms of role or not role?
Ah, okay, so let's say, what was the din of no saying ta'am lifgam in terms of chametz on Pesach? I have chametz on Pesach, I have a pot, right, that I didn't use since before Pesach. And now it's the third day of Chol HaMoed, and I use this pot. And so the ta'am pagum of chametz is going to go into my pesedika chicken soup. Correct? So is there a problem or not? So let's work it through. That according to the Rashba, I'm sort of stuck over here because I need betel berov, and I don't have betel berov on Pesach. Pesach chametz is aser b'mashu. Name, I need a combination of betel berov plus nosein ta'am lifgam. However, according to the Ran, who cares? I'm not nehene. Right? It's just one principle. There's no need of bitul barov. It's a question of hanah. The bottom line is, I'm not nehne, so then no sin tam of gam would be mutter. It's a machlokas rishonim, but it would be totally in this machlokas. Yeah?
The sheet of the Ran, isn't this an issue that Bethel directly shirin? There is every single person who be mashar whether or not they have more hanah from being
mm-hmm. Hanah. Mm-hmm. That's why yesh misha chokech lomar. Namely that there is a built-in chumra over here, and then a baal nefesh, you know, would be stuck, and someone who's not a baal nefesh would have to be honest with himself. Okay, just say there. That's why I gave the example of the men and the women, namely that in achinami, you know, I'm not saying that every person who eats white meat views it as not being as succulent as the dark meat, But a lot of them, I just found, it just want a greater quantity to say, you know, it's because they're men, so they want, they eat more than women. I know a lot of assumptions, but that's okay. The Seder. Let's move over to the Shach Sifkatan Beis. Okay, the Shach Sifkatan Beis points out Afilu Pogem Ktsas Avol Dover She'eno Nosein Ta'am Lo L'Shevach V'lo L'Lifa Osur Kirekosa Beis Yosef Al Shem Hago'os Ashri Perek Beis Avodas Kochavim Torah Schatos, etc. Namely, that if something is, we spoke about something that has a positive taste. We spoke about something that has a negative taste. What about something which is tasteless? Lo l'shevach v'lo l'pgam. So the Shach says that that is going to be asur, and that is what we saw earlier in Siman Tzaditet, Nirali Raya. Right. Bimai dekaimo an ein begit Siman Kuf ein beginne benosein tam afilu hachi kaimo an degufa shel gitcheni moach tzarach shishim. Even though it's eitz ba'alma, b'chol zot, we require shishim, and that is the shita of the shach. The prima godim.
I got the impression he's learning from the marshal. So I got the impression the other place where he says what he says is that you can't learn. It's a yotzim and a klal. He seems to be using it as a binyan av.
Okay.
I was correct in that.
So the Prima Godim Al Atar quotes the Pri Chodosh, who says that he was chore apobo, very very upset at the Shach for this diuk, for two reasons. One reason is that if you look in the Lashon of the Agos Ashri, that he speaks about lo l'shevach v'lo l'pgam, it means that we're dealing with something which is giving off a ta'am. But this ta'am doesn't improve the ta'aroves and doesn't hurt the ta'aroves. In other words, it's not that there's no ta'am. That's not the case of the Goz HaShri, is there is a ta'am. There's a ta'am, but you know, someone adds a spice, says, now taste this. You know, so you don't say, so you say, it doesn't taste better, it doesn't taste worse. But there's a taste. There's a taste that's there. It's not better, it's not worse. That's what the Goz HaShri says requires shishim. But yitachein, that if there's no taste at all, this is what Rav Moshe said al pisvara. If there's no taste at all, then it's batel berov. That's eitz ba'alma. And clearly, according to the Shach, that everything is totally in ta'am, right? That, you know, it's not in shame, but in ta'am. It would certainly make sense to say that you would not require shishim if there's no ta'am to be speaking about. So Rav Moshe, this was Rav Moshe Shita, by remember with the blended whiskey and the glycerin. The glycerin is tasteless. It simply changes the smoothness of the swallowing, but there is no taste. And so Rav Moshe, you know, was bothered in terms of the Gidim. So as Yeshaya pointed out, we could say maybe with the Gidim there is a taste, a tam kolosh, but the glycerin has no taste. So Rav Moshe says it's batel berov. What do we do with this shach? What do we do with this shach? This shach says black and white, as the Pri Chodosh got upset with him, that some, the shach says over here, something which is tasteless requires shishim. The Pri Chodosh says, you can't be medayik that on Hagos HaShri, but the shach says it. So Rav Moshe came to the understanding over here in the shach is talking about a case of min b'mino. Min b'mino, we pointed out, there is never tam, and yet b'chol zot you require shishim. So here, if something is tasteless, min b'mino would require shishim. But a min b'she'eno mino, nachinami, would be batel b'rov. Namely, that this would be, if I were to ask you a trick question on a test, where do we find, which I'm not going to ask you, don't worry, where would we find the min b'mino, which is more chamor than a min b'she'eno mino? So according to Rav Moshe, That's the meaning of the shach. To fit it into the language of the shach, I think, is very, 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 very difficult. But Rav Moshe is very, very strong about this svara. Okay, now we come to a machaber at the end of Sif Beis, where the machaber is a statement which is interpreted two ways by the Befarshei Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says, "Bamed, we have the vav of the shach, the hay of the tas. Bamed ramamurim. When do we say that no saint ta'am lefgam is a matir shepogem mitchiloso vaatzofo? Aval im hishbiach ulebesof pogem, o pogem ulebesof hishbiach, then osur." So the shach alatar says, O pogem ule besof hishbiach osur, perush achar shehishbiach. Avol kodem shehishbiach mutter. Afal pishe efshur shehishbiach acharkach. Kevan dahashta pogem hu, midi dahavi akederas melach, lakaman besifkot on yudbeis, etc. Namely, the shach says that when is the do we have a situation of pogem ule sof hishbiach, which is osur? After it's mashbiach. However, the Prima Godim, Alatar, quotes the Pri Chodosh, who says, Mapitom, it's Osir Miyad. Namely, it's not defined as no saying Ta'am Livgam, if Sofo Le Hashbiach. And if you recall back in Simon Sadichet, that certainly is the Mashmaos of the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, in Sif Alf, the very, very beginning, Yitamenu Oved Kochavim, Im Omer she'ein bo ta'am chelev, o she'omer she'yesh bo ta'am, ela shehu pagum, muter, v'hu shelo yeh sofer l'hashbiach. Mashma, that if sofer l'hashbiach, it's osur even immediately. Even immediately. What over here is the machlokes between the prichadosh, and again, the mashmaos of the machaber, and the shach? So the Rav has the Rav Shechter quotes the Rav, as saying we have over here a very, very basic machlokes. According to the Pri Chodosh, we have over here a din in shiurim, in terms of how do you define pagam. Pagam is that which is mitchiloso va'ad sofo, that which is going to change midstream. If it's ishbiach ulasof pogim, pogim asof ishbiach, that's not defined as pagam. Pagam is that which is a constant, not that which is a variable. However, according to the Shach, if you think about it, if he says pogem ulebesof hishbiach is muter as long as it's pogem, and then it's going to be osur, so what about hishbiach ulebesof pogem? What about hishbiach ulebesof pogem? Shouldn't it be osur when it turns into a pagam? I mean, if according to the shach you view things by the hoveh, by the present, so you know it's why does he appear that hishbiach ulebesof pogem is always going to be usher pogem ulebesof hishbiach? It's going to start as heter and then it's going to move to iser. So the Rav understood that according to the shach we have a different rule, that the world of Bitul B'Ta'aroves is at the beginning of the Ta'aroves. But if there is no Bitul at the beginning of the Ta'aroves, then it's not going to be Misbatel. Once the Shem Iser is Chal, then we're finished. So when we have a case of Hishbiach Ulebesof Pogem, once it was not Batel at the beginning of the Ta'aroves, it's not going to become Batel later on. If you're going to take such a rule, then you're going to have to reinterpret a lot of cases. Let's say if we have a case where you had a chaticha riulis kabed, and then you chop it up. So we say it once it's nisraska, there's bitul. So you have to say that's a new ta'aroves, that the original ta'aroves was of a chaticha riulis kabed, and when we cut it up, we have a new ta'aroves. Because otherwise, how are you going to get to bitul? Or we have the case by Eima Vatlin Yisur L'Chatchila, that you had a ratio, and then you added more heter, And we said that according to the Rashba, if you add more heter, you can change the halacha. You made an iser drabanan, mukta. And it was not batal b'shishim. And you add more, it becomes batal. So again, you have to say that when you're marve, you have a new ta'aroves. Okay. I'm not particularly fond of this formulation, but that's the way the Rav wanted to understand what's going on over here with the Shach and the Pri Chadash.
Yeah? Just a simple question. I guess there's some cases where you know it's going to get better at the end, but some cases you don't know. I mean, that's what the Shach seems to be saying, that in a case where you don't know, we just rely on the present. I mean, is there a case where we're more of a guy or not? I mean, how do you know it's going to get better at the end?
From experience.
And so this would be, so you'd just be looking at each case and you would know.
From experience. Namely, you're dealing, there's a certain ingredient when you add in that if you're going to taste it within the first hour of adding it in, it's going to be pogum. Mm-hmm. But after a period of time, it, you know, the effect that it has on the tarovas changes.
Okay.
In terms of the Ramah of Sif Beis, we're going to skip for the time being because it deals with the principle of no sein tam, bar no sein tam, not bar not, and we haven't learned it, and it's not worth to explain the whole world of not bar not just to explain and understand the Ramah over here. We'll come, we will learn it, bli neder, okay? Wait. We're going to get to that in Hilchos Basar V'Chalav. In Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, not bar not is a tremendously important halacha lemaisa, has a lot of ramifications, halacha lemaisa. So when you learn it there, we'll come back to over here.
So we're skipping the Ramah.
What?
We're skipping the Ramah
and Sif Beis. Okay. Sif Gimel. Afilu, if you learned it, wonderful. Don't worry. It's not wasted learning. You know, when you learn it next time, it'll be a wonderful chazara. Afilu ein koach be'iser levado lifgom. Ela ayede davar acher shemesa ayo. Namely, if the pgam doesn't stem from the iser, but rather there's another element, another ingredient in the tarovet that brings about the pgam. Now, it's previously dealt with the fact that we're dealing with a pgam which is created by the interface between the iser and the heter. The pgam can come from the iser alone. The pgam can come from the interface between the iser and the heter, or it could be there's a side ingredient like salt or vinegar which is tossed in which brings about the pagam. All of that is it's irrelevant. There's a source of the pagam. The bottom line is that it's a tam pagu. Gon shenafal isur kedera sheyesh ba melach o tavlin, probably the proper use over here is merubin, v'ilmolei ha-melach v'ha-tavlin sheba lo haya koach be'isur lifgom afilu hachi muter. Namely, you started off with something that was too salty, and you put Iser in, and it remains very, very salty. The bottom line is that the Iser, the time of the Iser, is pogum. Whether it's from the Iser or from the salt, it's irrelevant. Here we have, yes?
Is that what it means? Or you mean, if you just had the salt, it would taste fine, but now a salty Iser falls in, now it tastes too salty.
I don't know, does that make a difference? Okay, fine. In terms of the hechatims, are probably you're correct. Okay. But in terms of the principle, I don't think it makes a difference. Okay, here, however, we have a machlokes between the Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Prima Gadim al-Atar. Let me just give you the background of their machlokes. Let's say that we have three pieces of meat on the table. Two are kosher and one is treif. Okay? Can you eat that tarovis? So we saw the Rosh says you can pop them all in your mouth at once, right? The Rashba says you can eat them one after another. Can you cook them together and then eat them, eat the taro, eat the soup? Take these three pieces of meat, say three pieces of chicken, right? You put it in water and you make chicken soup out of these three pieces of chicken. Can you eat the chicken soup?
According to the Rosh,
certainly. And according to the Rashba, nothing doing, okay? What about the following situation according to the Rashba? I have these three pieces of chicken on the table, okay? Then I add another 58 pieces of chicken, and then I want to cook them together. Would that be okay?
Why not?
Exactly. Namely, that I can, in other words, that this tarovis, according to the Rashba, he agrees it's heter, right? I just can't cook them all together because then I'm going to taste the Iser. But if I add more heter and more heter so that when I cook them together, I'm not going to taste an iser. That's not a mevatlan iser l'chatchila. There's no iser to be, in other words, there theoretically is an iser, but there's no halacha of a mevatlan iser l'chatchila in such a situation. That's a given. Okay, we're given that fact. Now, let's say we have the following situation. Let's say some nevela falls into chicken soup. Some nevela falls into let's say, even irrelevant. Nevela falls into vegetable soup. Okay? Which is bland. Which is total bland. No melach at all. And it falls in a ratio of 1 to 10. Can I eat the vegetable soup?
No.
The soup is very, very bland. No. Right? This is the case that I gave Yirmiyahu. And some nevela falls into a vegetable soup which is very, very bland. Doesn't have any salt in it.
Why would you be able to know?
So again, let's make the cheshbon. In terms of the nevela is 1 to 10, is batel berov. The taste is a taste which is pagum. L'chora, I could eat the vegetable soup. So now the question is, could I add more vegetable soup until there's shishim, add another 5 times vegetable soup, and then add salt? Namely, can I take advantage, you know, just like we have the world of yavesh b'yavesh, that I said that since halachically we have over here bitul, but I can't cook it, so let me add quantity and then cook it. So could I say the same thing in the world Nosein Ta'am of Gam? I have over here a tarovus which I'm allowed to eat because of Nosein Ta'am Lifgam. I'm not interested in eating it though because it's bland. So could I add more quantity and then add the salt to, you know, make it edible and then eat it? Okay, that over here, look at Rabbi Kiva Eger. Nearly, Ladun.
That's sort of a ketzas for them.
What?
Is there anyone who doesn't hear anything because there's not enough salt?
So look at Rabbi, look at that. So let's start with the Shach. Shach Sivkot and Yud Beis. The Mechaber deals with something which is too salty or too spicy. Says the Shach, Hu Aden Ipcha, Shehu Pogim Ibnei She'en Sham Melach, O Tavlin. Something is tasteless or tastes bad because there's not enough of salt or there's not enough of a spice. Ilu hayusha melach o tavlin karoi lo haya pogim. But the lack of the salt or the tavlin came under hashta miya pogim. That's considered to be a pagam. Namely, something could be overly salty, something can be underly soft. Now again, in our culture, we view something without salt as being very healthy. Right, so we've gotten used to eating things without salt. But let's say you go back 100 years when no one knew that there was an issue of something. So people would not eat bland. They would just toss more salt in. They wouldn't eat something like coffee, right? They would toss more sugar in. Nowadays, people drink bitter coffee because they think it's better for their health. Right? So in other words, so what is considered to be pagum is very, very culturally...
Why isn't this pogum so kashmir?
No, because pogum shofi shbiach is without adding anything. Simply the process of time, that's what brings about pogum shofi shbiach. That you're not changing the ingredients. Here we want to add in an ingredient.
Well, it might not. I mean, you're changing it from something that's pogum to something that's shbiach. I mean, you're changing its status.
But we saw by yavesh b'yavesh that's not a problem. That if currently it's mutter, so I can add more heter, and then add the tavlin. Namely, it would never reach the state of iser. It was never usser.
I know, have a rule here.
But that's the question. In other words, so look at Rabbi Kiva Eger inside. Nirali ladun. Muter lahosif ad shishim. V'litein achar kach melech v'tavlin sheyashbiach. V'ein b'ze mishum bitol iser l'chatchila. Kevon dahashta hu pagum. Nisbate lo iser berov. Hanos ein tam l'vgam. Midin bitul berov asinan Allah. This is the Rashba, kamo shekosav haRashba. Ela achar sheyashbiach yehe kamo nikar haisur mehay taima mishum hachi kol hamosif mikodem kedei shelo yachar kach nikar haisur lo mikri mevatel isur. Had you added the salt before you added the shishim, so then it turns into a ta'am l'shevach and you can't eat it. It's nikar haisur, you're tasting the isur. his hat. In other words, the question is, can you add enough heter that even when you add the salt, you're not going to taste the nevela? That's the cheshbon. Even when you add the salt, you're not going to taste the nevela. The dummy ladina de la kaman in siman kuftet si'if beis. That's what the Rashba feels should be muta. Nearly it's muta. Chakach matzati the prima godim she'amad b'kayotze v'zeh. Rabbi Kiveger is very, very elegant with his words. Look at the Prima Gadim. He says you cannot compare this to Yavish B'Yavish. It certainly is usser. Namely, we have over here a machlokas between the Rabbi Kiveger and the Prima Gadim. Can we compare a world of no saying ta'am lifgam? Can we compare a world of no saying ta'am lifgam to the world of Yavish B'Yavish? In Yavish B'Yavish, we can add more heter and then cook it together. Can we say, but Hu Adin, by the world of Nosin Tam of Gam, let's add more heter and then take away the Pagam? So Rabbi Kiveger says, why not? And the Prima Gadim says, nothing doing. So Yitzachen, in other words, what's the machokis? Is Rabbi Kiveger is working according to the Rashba. According to the Rashba, we have, in the world of Nosein Tam with Gam, we always have two factors, Nosein Tam with Gam and Bitul. So it's similar to Yavish B'Yavish, where you have Bitul Barop, and there's no Shishim. Mashenken, according to the Ran, Eino Nehene, that's not Bitul Barop. Yavish B'Yavish, there's Bitul Barop. That's the Prima Gadim. Namely, if we're dealing over here with a different principle, then Yitzachen that we can't compare it. If we're dealing with the same principle, then perhaps we can.
Sorry, can Rabbi explain the Prima Gadim according to the Ran? Why answer one more time?
I'm just pointing out that the Ran says that these are apples and Yavish B'Yavish, we had Bitul Barov. In other words, and on the level of Yavish B'Yavish, that's all that you require. So then, once it was totally mutter because of Bitul, so then we added more Heter, and then you were able to cook it. Ma'ashen Ken, by Nosin Tam of Gam, there was never Bitul, just that technically you weren't nehne because it didn't taste good. But, you know, it's, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Easter is not there. Well, maybe it does mean that. That's, you know, it's unclear exactly.
Why isn't it batel?
It's not batel because there's no beetle. There's no need for rov. According to the Ran, even if you have an Easter meruba, it's going to be buta because you're not being nehne. Yeah?
According to the Rashba, the Tom
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with it. I don't know what the machlokas is over here, but you know, it's just that said. The fact that the Rebbe Kiveger went out of his way to build himself Rashba, so perhaps there would be a question as to who would build ourselves on. But in any case, you know, it's that's the machlokas Rebbe Kiveger and the. Okay. Maybe a case that would be a little more, just to sharpen a little. Let's say we had a case of some nevela fell into vegetable soup that was too salty. Okay? And so we say, at this point, you know, it's had you wanted to, you could eat it because it's no same time lifgam. And then what you do is you dilute the vegetable soup in water. You add water and water and water. And what the water does, aside from adding quantity, is it also dilutes the salt. And now you have shishim against the nevela. And so the question is, now would you say, and now it's no saying ta'am l'shevach, it tastes fine. Would you say that is permitted? Because you started with that which was heter, and you ended with that which is heter. Is this similar to yavish b'yavish, where we permitted, or do we? No, in other words, that, you know, potentially the nevela should have had a taste, but it was covered over with the salt, and there's no, the same way had you simply put in something to neutralize the salt, that would have been mevatel iser l'chatzchila. Over here also, you can't add quantity and then etc. Namely, the question is, you know, let's say that you're in a factory, okay, and you're asked to be mashgiach kashrut, and there is a non-kosher ingredient. But when the non-kosher ingredient is added, it's no same tam lifgam. But then they add a whole bunch of other ingredients, etc., etc., and then it turns into a tam shevach. But by the time it turns into a tam shevach, you already have shishim against the non-kosher ingredient. Is that a valid? Can you give a hechsher on such a product? That's the question. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, you could give a hechsher on such a product. According to the Prima Gonim, you couldn't. Yes.
Stage process. When you're exposing the potential that the tam iser to come into the food, it's already in a state where there's shishim kenega the iser. But in this case, you're adding, and lechora, the moment when it becomes l'shevach, might be before there is shishim.
But let's say that it comes, in other words, you create a factory environment, the last ingredient that you put in makes it edible.
And still, can you say it's bayin ke'echad, the fact that
that's the machokes over here. That's the machokes between the Prima Gadim and the, according to the Prima Gadim, my nafkemina, the order. The bottom line is that, you have a tam l'shevach. Mashenken, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, just like in the world of Yavish B'Yavish, we can create a heter by a sequence, so also you can put a sequence into the world of Nosein Tam Lufgam and create a heter. Okay. Let's look at Sif Dalad. Shemen udvash shel oved kochavim. Okay, you want to buy some olive oil from a goy, or you want to buy honey from a goy. Now, the assumption is that olive oil and honey are cooked before they are sold in order to purify it or whatever. What are they cooked in? They're cooked in goyisha pots. Those goyisha pots are full of nevelos and trefos. Are you allowed to use the shemen or dvash? So mutarim. Why? Mishum shehabosar pogim es hashemen umasricho v'chein es hadvash. This halacha is halacha the Rambam. The Rambam is assuming that in mitzius nevelos utrefos are pogim shemen udvash, and so therefore, even though there is over here a aroves, but it remains mutar because the tam Isur, the tam nevelos utrefos, is no same tam lufgam into the shemen udvash. The yesh omrim, says the Ramah, the basar eino pogem es hadvash atzmo, rak mashke hanase midvash, that there is an alcoholic beverage made of honey called med or mead, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Mead,
right? That the Chaucer used to, they used to drink mead, right? In Old English. They drank mead as well. Okay. Now it's somehow in your literature courses you come across people, maybe Shakespeare, that they drink mead. So in mead, there the basar is pogem, but not dvash itself. What's going on over here? So if one looks in the Beis Yosef, has a question on the Rambam. How can the Rambam say that basar is pogem dvash? Everyone knows that one of the ingredients that we put into chalant, one of the hidden ingredients, is honey. And that's not pogem, that adds a lovely taste to the chalant. In other words, the mitzius, the is incorrect. And then the Beis Yosef quotes a Mordechai that halachically, it's nevela and dvash is considered to be ta'am l'shevach. Namely, this is simply not a reality. Where's the Rambam coming from? So the Ramah, in order to explain the Rambam, says what the Rambam means is that if you're making mead, then the nevela and trefo will mess up the mead. It will be a nosen tam of gam. In Achinami, in terms of dvash, it would be a nosen tam l'shevach.
Rabbi, where's this? This is Rambam.
What?
Where's this Rambam?
It's in Hilchos Macholos Asuros. Besof Hilchos Macholos Asuros, right? Karav Safra. The Machaber is the Rambam. Right, Lashon HaRambam. Shemen shel kochavim mutar, v'lo mishum igule v'kochavim nei she'abosar pogem es ha'shemen u'masricho v'chein dvash mitam zeh. Okay, that's the in other words, but the Ramah is coming to farenfer the Rambam. So the in the Gra al Atar on this Ramah, the Gra says, Kamosha Hiksha Bes Yosef Hare Ha'olam Mevashlim Basar Bidvash Umashbiach, that this is there's honey chicken, and the Chinese now they have honey and chicken. It's a delicious meal, and but so in the Likud he says you can answer Yesh Omrim Mikush. The reason the Ramah disagreed with the Machaber was Mikush Asabes Yosef Velesa Da Afagav De Be'en Mashbiach Hatam Pogem, namely that you can distinguish, says the Gra, between two different ingredients. To put meat into honey or honey into meat, that's delicious. But to take a pot that has ta'am basar and to cook honey in it, that's what's going to be pogame. That the ta'am basar will be pogame, the be'en of basar will be mashbiach. And he brings a raya from the world of kankanim, that if you have casks that have within them a ta'am of wine, right? Casks that have been used to store wine. So the Gemara says that to store beer in those casks is mutter, because the wine is no same ta'am in the beer. But everyone knows that there are beers that have wine mixed into them, and that's considered to be a higher level of beer. But the difference is that the wine in the beer would be mashgiach. The ta'am of the wine coming out of the cask into the beer, that which would be pogim. So we have already the possibility of such a distinction. Okay.
Couldn't we say something similar? Couldn't we just say that if you have a meat dish, you might like to add a little bit of honey to it, but if you just have stomp honey, you have to put meat in it, it's gonna make it taste bad.
In other words, it's a question of what you're putting into what. What is the main ingredient and what is the additive? Could be. I don't know whether that's true or not, but it could be. Yeah?
Putting the wine in the cask, the bottle, it goes into the walls of the cask?
Yeah, we assume that when something sits 24 hours, a liquid will enter a solid within 24 hours.
How long will it stay there?
And it'll stay, and so within the next 24 hours, it'll be a tam l'shevach, and afterwards it'll turn into a tam l'fgam. Okay, that's sifhei. Behind and be'en, it's a question of mitzius. It's a question, namely, the Beis Yosef asked on the Rambam, how can you say that basar and dvash, that combination is pogame, if we have many recipes that contain that combination? And so the Ramah said in achinami, but what the Ramah was talking about was not basar and dvash, but basar and med. That's the Ramah. The Gra said that perhaps you could distinguish between the recipes that we're talking about that deal with two ingredients of items of chatichos. Masha'en came when you're dealing with the blia coming out of a kli, that has a different impact. That the basar be'en and the dvash taste delicious, but the basar coming out of a kli and dvash, that would be a nosein tam lufgam. Okay, just to understand the Machaber and the Ramah and the Gra. Okay. Sifhei. Kol kedera she'ena basyoma chashiva ta'ama lifgam ve'ena o seris. Okay, we have a din of a kli she'ena ben yomo, and that it's not going to aser that which you cook within the kli. At what point does that come about? V'nikres basyoma, the kli is considered to be having a ta'am l'shevach kol zman shelosha hasami eis le'eis achar shenisbashel bo ha'iser for 24 hours. Kevan sha'avar alav me eis le'eis, excuse me, post 24 hours achar shenisbashel bo ha'iser, already ain on nikreis bas yoma, the ta'am coming out of the kli is no longer a ta'am l'shevach, and therefore im bishel ba k'sheina bas yoma, if you were to use it in that state, Hatav shel muter, davino sein ta'am lifgam. Okay, this, in other words, is the first question. If you're a rabbi and someone says, Rabbi, I accidentally cooked my chalent in a milchik pot, the first question that you ask him is, when was the pot last used? And if the pot was last used before 24 hours, so you tell him the chalent is fine, the pot, you have to be machshir. But the chalant is fine, that the ta'am of the chalav going into the chalant is a ta'am pagum. Okay. The diuk over here of Rabbi Akiva Eger is a very important ochel ma'isa. It, namely, could you say that I want to cook a chalant Erev Shabbos? I can't find my fleshik pot, but I have a milchik pot that the last time I used it was Wednesday. Can I put my chalant in this milchik pot and cook it? Because echshaloyeh, the tam coming into the pot is going to be a tam pagum. So Rabbi Akiva Eger is medayek in bishel bakasha eina basyoma avo lechatchila osur levashel kein. There's no heter to be mevat to use the pot lechatchila. That's not a heter. You go into a house and they only have a milchik dishwasher that hasn't been used for a week. You can't put your fleshik dishes in there and say it's going to be no same time with gam, leaving aside the fact you mess up the dishwasher. But you can't do that. You can't use a pot eino ben yoma lechatchila. The whole halacha over here is bidiyeved. Bidiyeved, if you used it, then there's not going to be an iser, and it's irrelevant what you cooked in the pot. Afilu im bishlo bekli raksofik iser drabanon, you can't use that pot on the lechatchila on the level of an eino ben yomo. Okay, that's a given halacha, but it's very important for us to be aware of. The Gilyon HaMaharsha explains what this bidiyeved means. Look in the Gilyon HaMaharsha al atar, hatav shel mutar, va'af liknot me oved kochavim lo mikri lechatchila. That, let's say you're walking in Central Park, and there is a non-Jew roasting chestnuts in his pot. So the halacha is you're allowed to buy chestnuts from that non-Jew and eat them. Aye, maybe that pot he used the previous night for nevelos utrifos. So we say no. Pots stam kelim einam b'nei yomon. Aye, be not allowed to use a kli eino ben yom chatchila. Once he cooked it, that's called b'diavad. Namely, that the world of lechatchila and the dievid, in terms of nosein tam of gam, in terms of kli shenei ben yomo, is whether it was cooked, then it's a bidievid. To cook it, that's lechatchila. So to ask a goy, can you cook for me some chestnuts in your pot, that you can't do. But once the goy cooked the chestnuts, and he offers them to you, then and you can eat it, because you assume the pot was eino ben yomo, and once it's eino ben yomo, it's already cooked, that's bidievid. Yeah? No, it doesn't apply to Nosim Tam of Gam. Yeah.
So just want to clarify, if somebody's working and they have a cook, whatever, and somebody boils eggs for you, and you know it's for the company, and you can eat those eggs?
After they're cooked. Now you can't ask him, add an egg for me.
No, I'm saying, they have like a trays of food or whatever.
Again, assuming the kli is an eino ben yomo. Now we say that stam kelim enam b'neyoman, that's in a household. But in other words, if you're dealing with a restaurant that's using the kelim on a constant level, I don't know whether you can necessarily say stam kelim enam b'neyoman. Right? In other words,
is there any issue here of like the egg example of bishul akum?
So bishul akum is a separate issue. So we have rules of bishul akum. It has to be olal shluchim malachim. And something that can't be eaten raw, right? So you have to deal with bishul akum, right, as a separate issue.
The egg might be a question.
The egg might be or might not be the question.
The chestnuts, egg.
Right? Chestnuts generally, I don't think are olal shulchan malachim. But
do you think the maisa after and we learned this with Rav Ben Nosh, I was thinking yes. That I wanted to try this next time I was in New York buying the chestnuts. But is there a
Marathon,
you think?
No, it's mutter.
Walking up to the, okay.
No, it's lehefech. You're pointing out the halacha to people.
I guess.
No, it's not as though something this goy is selling is us. I mean, I don't think someone would assume that if you can buy chestnuts from him, you can also buy pizza from him. You know, I don't think that someone would understand that. They would understand that you're buying chestnuts. They may come to you and say, just a minute, do you know what he cooked in that pot previously? So you can say, oh, there we have halacha, that stam kelim of a goyer enam b'nei yomon, and you know, it's already cooked, and you could explain to him the whole halacha. Okay. Comes along the machaber and continues, v'hu, when do we say that a stam kli becomes eino ben yomo after 24 hours, she tiyem mudachat, when the kli is clean, Shelo yehi shuman al paneha. There's no shmutz on the surface of the kli. Sheim lo hidicha, because if the kli is dirty, then harehi kechatichas iser. What difference does it make if the be'en has a diameter of 5 centimeters or a diameter of a millimeter? We're dealing with be'en. And be'en, lo nifkema, the world of be'en is not pogum within 24 hours. The world of be'en is totally when it becomes it. That's, you know, could be become rancid after 3 days. V'yesh matirin afilu ibisho bakodem hidicha. But there is a daya that even if there is shmutz, you're allowed to eat it. What kind of machokas is this? So this is a machokas between the Rashba and the Ran. How do we define a thin layer of be'en? Shuman tuach al paneha. Do we say be'en is be'en is be'en? If you can feel it, if you can touch it, if it has substance to it, that's be'en. And it has a criteria that it only becomes rancid, only when it becomes rancid, it's mutter. Others say that the Rashba says the moment it's a very, very thin layer, I'm sorry, the Ran says, the moment it's a very, very thin layer, it has a status of ta'am. Namely, a very thin layer of be'en is already going to become pagum after 24 hours. The Taz says that b'di'eved, we paskin like the Rashba, bottom line, that as long as you can feel it, as long as it has substance, it has a status of be'en. We're machmir. Okay, we're machmir like the Rashba. So, let's finish the Siman Sivav. Yesh mi she'omer she'im samu pilpulin b'kedera shel iser she'ena bas yoma. That if you have your, if let's see, you bought a house from Mr. O'Toole, and you go to the seller of the house, and you find a whole set of pots and pans that haven't been used for 20 years, and you decide to make garlic soup, or you decide to make onion soup, samu pilpulin b'kedera, you cook in this pot something which is a davar charif. The enobasyon hakol asur the churfei mashvele l'shevach, that this is the power of a davar charif, that it could take something which is a pagum and turn it into shevach. Okay, that there's no heter of no zein tam l'fgam when we're dealing with cooking a davar charif. Okay, so this is an issue, namely that if you were told that you made a fleshik dish with a milchik pot, but the pot hadn't been used, but you have to ask exactly what was the charif level of your fleshik dish. If your fleshik dish was basically hot peppers that with a little meat, so you tachain, that's a davar charif, it's going to turn the blia of chalav into a tam l'shevach. Ziv zayin. Kedera shehi blua mi basar v'chalav shenizbashaba biyachad o b'zeh achar zeh v'kodem she'avar laila achas huchmu b'mayim chashiva bas yoma ad shetisha me'es le'es mishoa shehuchmu b'ha'mayim. Here the Mechaber is giving us a new rule. Just as we said that an Iser can be rejuvenated by a davar charif, so also an Iser can be rejuvenated by cooking water within 24 hours. Namely, that if you used a pot at noon and then the following day for breakfast, you again cooked in that pot, so your clock starts all over. When do we say that after 24 hours something is no sein tam l'fgam? That's if the pot was not used for 24 hours. But if the pot was reused within 24 hours, then you have to move your clock to keep beginning the 24 hours after the last usage, yes?
Why isn't that usage considered l'shvacha? Like that.
Fine. That usage is it's irrelevant. In other words, what that usage does is that the tam is going to go out and go back in. And when it goes back in, it's going in as a tam l'shevach, and a tam l'shevach is only going to turn into a tam l'fgam after 24 hours.
I'm saying, let's say, so we're saying that water can rejuvenate the tam, right? So.
I'm not saying, the Bechaber says.
No.
Yeah.
So,
no. I shouldn't say no. The smach agrees. The smach it's like you have a rishon on your side.
So if I have vegetable soup, so there's a lot of liquid in there.
Yes.
So that's not what, that's tons of man in there. We're not considered that that's to rejuvenate the time. And if we are, then that vegetable soup should be usher because there's no ten times shvach.
That vegetable soup certainly is usher. I know it's, again, let's say you have a pot of that you cooked nevela in at noon. And then for breakfast, you cook vegetable soup. So that vegetable soup certainly is usher. So the question is, what if then you go ahead and cook with that pot at 2 in the afternoon? At 2 in the afternoon. So, according to the smak, the vegetable soup that you cooked in the morning, that's usher. But the vegetable soup that you recook at 2 in the afternoon, that's going to be mutter. Masha Einkein, according to the mechaber, the moment you cook vegetable soup at 2 in the morning, or for breakfast, then the clock begins at that time for another 24 hours. That's what the mechaber over here is saying. We paskin l'chumra, like the mechaber.
What's the svar of the smak? I mean, how does that work? How does it not? How does the tam?
He says that the clock begins when the time that it was nivla in the first place.
Yeah, but once he cooks this, then the tam goes out and goes back.
The seder b'chol zotz, but it goes back in as a used tam. Not as a new tam. The Ramah basically agrees. Avolim avrla muter. We'll come to this in a minute. V'chenim avrla laila ben bishul basol achalav. Okay, we'll explain this now. Okay, yes, I'm sorry. So, what is basyoma? So up to now, we've assumed that basyoma is me'es le'es. 24 hours. However, when you think about the phrase bas yoma, you can understand where Rabbeinu Tam came from. And Rabbeinu Tam says bas yoma means it's Tuesday's pot. The moment that there is Tzeis HaKochavim of Wednesday, right? Then it's, you know, where it's then of our Laila, then Wednesday morning, it's already no longer bas yoma. Namely, that of our Laila is already enough to turn it into an Eina Basyoma. We paskin like all Rishon Vesai from Rabbeinu Tam, that Basyoma means Me'es Le'es. But where do we bring in Rabbeinu Tam? We bring him in over here. This is the Ramah. Im Avra Laila Mutar, V'chein Im Avra Laila Ben Bishul Basar L'chalav, Afal Pisha Achar Kachuch Mumayim, Miyad Name Dina Hachi. Namely, that we are going to use Rabbeinu Tam in two areas. One is the area of rejuvenation, namely, that we're only going to say this is rejuvenation up to Rabbeinu Tam's time. But beyond Rabbeinu Tam's time, there's not going to be the rejuvenation. Namely, the Huchma B'mayim has to be before Avar Laila. And secondly, we're going to use Rabbeinu Tam to prevent the creation of Basar V'Cholav, to create Basar V'Cholav. We're not going to be able to create Basar V'Cholav if we already have the time of this period of time that was set up by Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so these are the two areas where we bring in Rabbeinu Tam. Im Avra Laila Mutar, namely that we're not going to have the rejuvenation of Huchum B'mayim, V'chein Im Avra Laila Ben Bishol Basar L'Chalav, Af Agav D'Achar Kachuchum B'mayim, Miyad Nami Dina. I'm sorry, I didn't mean, in other words, that we're going, that, start again. We're going, in which we have Machokes between the Smak and the Machaber as to whether there is a concept of rejuvenation. So we basically pass like the Mechaber that there is a concept of rejuvenation. But we're going to be Mekel if A, of our Laila before the rejuvenation, that then we're going to say like the Smak, that there's no rejuvenation. Or if there was of our Laila between the Basar and the Chalav, then also there wouldn't be the rejuvenation. Namely, the pot would be Basar v'Chalav, but the rejuvenation would not be. Now we're going to use Rabbeinu Tam to limit this Chiddush of the rejuvenation. Okay. What the last thing we'll mention over here is that the Mechaber gives the example of the rejuvenation in a world of basar v'cholav. Kederish ibulumi basar v'cholav yinspashal biyachad b'zeh acharzeh, and then afterwards hucham b'mayim. Comes along the Ramah And he says, why did the Mechaber give the example of Basar v'Cholav? We're learning over here Hilchos Taroves, because the whole din of rejuvenation is built on Chaticha Nases Nevela. And since, says the Rama, we hold Chaticha Nases Nevela by all Isurim, therefore, this halacha of rejuvenation would apply to all Isurim. The Shach Alatar in Sivkatan Yudches says Papikak, says that's absurd. That this has nothing to do with Chadam. Chaticha Nases Nevela was said in the creation of Basar v'Cholav. Once something is already Basar v'Cholav, it's like Shari Surim. The rejuvenation is after it's already Basar v'Cholav. And because of the Mechaber has this din of rejuvenation, which means that this should apply to all Isurim, then there's no reason why Chanan is a relevant fact. Look at the last three lines of the Shach. Umikol makom of Sifkat Yudches beikar hadin disfira machaber v'arav the kedera belumi basar v'cholav aminan chanan eini moda lahem dezed dami l'shari surim. Once it's already basar v'cholav kevan shikvar nesar, that's the equivalent of shari surim. The only time that we have a distinction of chanan specifically by basar v'cholav is to create the basar v'cholav in the first place. Once it's created, it's like shari surim, and therefore this whole factor is irrelevant. And that brought about a dogma revava, that the last the Rama ends off that behefseid, that the makom hefseid we can be mekel b'shari surim. So the Shach explains sifkatan chaf perish makom hefseid ktsat deilu makom hefseid gadol v'lavachi muter yeshomim shelo amrin chanan b'yisro lach shebola beheter lach, etc., etc. So the dogma revava says, Mr. Shach, you so see yourself, you just said in sifkatan yudches that chanan is irrelevant, and here you bring in Chanan to explain a distinction. It doesn't make sense. Near Elisha, Hashach Sosir, Divrei Atzmo, that who Atzmo kan, Hevi Le'el, Devarev et Sarachiyun. So he has no alternative but to say that Sifkat and Chaf is, I disagree with the Ramah that this has anything to do with Chanan. But the Ramah Gashitaso, who thinks it does have to do with Chanan, so had it been a Hefseid, had it been a Hefseid Gadol, it would have been Mutter because there's no Chanan Bashari Sur Mimakom Hefseid Gadol. Okay, that's just the Ha'ara. Adkan Siman Kuf Gimel. Bli Neder, next time we'll move into Kuf Dalet. Maybe we'll even begin Kuf He. Is that, we're holding the same point there, Rech?
I didn't know we were supposed to skip that for a mouse. So the Nosin Tamil.
Oh, okay, I knew I'd be responsible for...